Yes, it is once again the hour of the time. This is the only hour that ever was or ever will be. This is the most important hour in your entire life. For during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. I'm your host, William Cooper. And I've got to start out tonight with a little bit of news that may be discomforting to some and may be cheerful to others. However the news may fall, it falls. We are no longer associated with the Becker Satellite Network. I repeat, we are no longer associated with the Becker Satellite Network. And to make sure that everything comes out all right, folks, I need you to do something for me right away. We have some names who have sent in funds to join the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. One of the reasons that this relationship has been severed is people who sent in money several months ago, we have just now received their names and have not yet received any money whatsoever from the Becker Satellite Network. Also, we have received some orders for books, names and addresses with money has been sent to Stan, and those books are on their way to you now. Those names and addresses that we have who have sent in money to join the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, watch your mail. You will be receiving your materials soon. Now, if within a reasonable period of time, say 10 to 14 days, you have not received a personal letter from me. Now, understand, within 14 days, if you sent in money to join the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence or sent in money for a book, Behold a Pale Horse, and you have not received a personal letter from me, please make a copy of both sides of your personal check or make a copy of the receipt for your money order that you sent to the Becker Satellite Network and send it to me at this address. Do not send any mail to the Becker Satellite Network. Now, it's important that you carry this out because we want to honor every single one of your memberships and your purchases of a book. Whether or not we ever get the money that you sent doesn't make any difference. As you all know, I stand 100% behind everything that I ever do. So get a pencil and paper and write this down, and I'm going to give you the address several times during this broadcast. Also, I will be giving you the phone number that you can call and talk to Stan personally if you have any other questions about what's happening here. Okay, send the copy of both sides of your check or the copy of your money order to William Cooper, Post Office Box 3299. That's P.O. Box 3299. Camp. C-A-M-P, Verde, spelled V as in Victor, E-R, D as in dog, E. Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's William Cooper, P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. Your membership will be honored, and your purchase of my book, Behold a Pale Horse, will be honored, whether or not the differences between the hour of the time and the Becker Satellite Network are resolved or not. There were just too many discrepancies, tapes not getting where they were supposed to be going. We were told that tapes were sent and found out that they weren't sent. We knew that people were sending in money in request for membership and to purchase the book, and we were not receiving the lists. and several other things. But that is strictly between the hour of the time and the Becker Satellite Network, and it could be due to extraordinary circumstances at the Becker Satellite Network. We are not making any judgments about anybody there. Understand that. We are just rectifying the situation on our end because it is not a satisfactory business arrangement for the hour of the time or its listeners, and we will not put up with it. If you would like to phone Stan and talk to him about whether or not your name is on the list, please call Stan at area code 602-567-6109. That's 602-567-6109. I'll repeat the address and the phone number later in the program. Again, I want to apologize. I regret any inconvenience that has caused to anyone. Remember, I stand behind everything I do 100%. It will all be made good, and we are taking steps to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. Believe me, this has really upset me, and it's just not going to be allowed to happen again. Nothing is going to be allowed to come between me and my listeners and what happens with this show, except me. Now for some good news. Some time ago on satellite, I did two shows about an obscure little radio station in Phoenix, Arizona, KAPW, and its owner-operator. Those two shows concentrated on the points in law which specifically forbids the FCC from interfering with KAPW simply because KAPW is not subject to the jurisdiction of the FCC. Now, I'm not going to run those programs on WWCR, but it's 2 hours. If you're a CAGI member, you can purchase those tapes for $5 apiece. Anybody else, if you're not a CAGI member, you can purchase those tapes for $15 apiece. So if you're a CAGI member and you want both hours of that particular subject on the hour of the time, send us $10 plus, I believe it's $2.50 for postage and handling, and we'll send you those tapes. Anybody else, send us $30 plus $2.50 postage and handling, and we'll send you those tapes. But you should listen to it, especially if you're interested in starting a low-power FM station in your area. Those two programs covered all the points in law. Now, the good news, folks, is that after being shut down by the FCC and dogging it out, challenging the FCC on the legal points that came out on the show The Hour of the Time, KAPW, we are happy to announce, is back on the air, operating legally in Phoenix, Arizona. So, let that be a lesson to you. Just because some agency of the federal government comes and struts in front of your face and tells you you can't do something, it doesn't mean they're right. In fact, as many times as not, they are operating outside the law, and you're the one who is within the law. All you have to do is study the law, study the Constitution, apply the points of law, and don't argue superfluous, ridiculous issues. For instance, many people would have argued freedom of speech, freedom of the airways, airways belong to the people, and all of that crap. They did not apply in that instance, and they don't apply in most instances. Tonight's program, we have a guest, folks. From the headquarters of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, the best advice that our agents worldwide and in this country have determined that we can give to anyone is to become self-sufficient, get off the power grid, learn to subsist on solar, wind, and water energy. Get out of the system. Barter with your neighbors. Grow your own food on your own land. Learn canning. In the coming months and years, people who are self-sufficient, off the system, off the power grid, will be the ones who will survive. Our special guest tonight is Mr. Dave Duffy. He's the editor and publisher of Backwoods Home Magazine. Now, folks, this is not, I repeat, not an advertisement. This is a regular show, The Hour of the Time. You knew that I do not take advertisers on this program. I myself have subscribed to Backwoods Home for a long time, back since it first came out. It's not under my name, but nevertheless, the subscription still comes directly to my home. It is my subscription, and I paid for it. Backwoods Home magazine is one of the best magazines that I have seen anywhere. For anyone who wants to become self-sufficient, get out of the system, get off the power grid, learn to live on their own efforts, this is the magazine of choice. This is the magazine that I recommend. Understand that I'm not getting any money for this whatsoever. Mr. Dave Duffy is a man who long ago realized that it was important to get out of major population centers. He wanted to live in the country, wanted to build his own home, but it was at a time in the recent history of the United States when real estate values soared so high and interest rates were so out of sight that it appeared to Mr. Duffy that his dream was not going to come true. He purchased a small tract of land and began building his own home. And because he was so successful, and because the cost of his land and his home stayed within the limits that are affordable by almost anyone in this country, he decided to publish a magazine on how to build your own home. And that magazine evolved into Backwoods Home, which is not only how to build your own home, but how to build your own power system, hot water systems, heating systems, grow your own food, make your own medicine from available plants and herbs, and many, many, many other subjects. How to become a blacksmith. You would be amazed at the articles that are in this magazine, Backwoods Home, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised and a little amazed at Mr. Dave Duffy. So, without further ado, let's get into the meat of this program, The Hour of the Time. Dave, welcome to The Hour of the Time.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Can we start off by getting some of your background? What have you been up to all your life?
Well, I'm 48 years old. I spent the 10 years prior to launching Backwoods Home Magazine, which is now just entering its fourth year, as a computer analyst and Defense Department technical writer and editor. And prior to that, I spent 10 years as a newspaper reporter for such dailies as the Las Vegas Sun, a couple of small newspapers, the Stockley Press in Ventura, California, and the Lowell Sun, that was Jack Kerouac's old paper, in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Well, that's really interesting. Did you know Jack Kerouac personally?
No, I didn't. He was older than I was. He had left the paper years before I joined the staff. I got out of the Army, and my last commander, Colonel DeSmet, got me my first newspaper job at the Lowell Sun. That's when I learned that was Kerouac's paper, and he was revered there.
He was revered in a lot of places. Dave, what did you do in the Army?
I was a military journalist. I joined during the Vietnam era in 1966. I joined rather than be drafted and have to serve as a grunt and maybe get shot. I figured if I could join and get an education, and then if I got shot, at least I'd get something out of it. So they sent me to their whiz-bang 10-week journalism course in Fort Benjamin Harrison, Indiana, which they are about to close down. That's one of those military bases getting the ads. And from that, I launched my journalism career. I never took a journalism course in my life formally other than that. And when they say the Army is a good place to start, I'm not a big fan of the military per se, but it was a great place to start for me. I was 22, and 10 weeks, they gave me the beginnings of being a journalist, and I spent 3 years as a photojournalist in the Army, mainly in Europe, in Germany, in the United States, and I come out, I knew my stuff.
Well, that's great.
Great experience.
So you didn't just retire and decide to start this magazine. You'd had quite a few years of journalism behind you.
Yes, I have a very strong writing background. Most magazines are started, from what I can figure out, by businessmen, in particular advertising people. I have a limited business experience, except for working for the Defense department in a technical editing capacity. I come from a pretty strong writing background, the credentials that are not supposed to make a magazine work.
Uh-huh.
But I think it has benefited me because I can pay attention to the writer and not the advertisers. I make a lot of mistakes dealing with advertisers. But I have a good loyalty among my writers. I used to be a freelance writer on the side all most of my life, ever since I left the Army when I was 25, so 35, 45, 23 years ago. And I can remember getting checks for my freelance work by secretaries who didn't know my name. I'd never meet the publisher, never meet the editor, or if I did, I'd meet a low-ranking editor. I treat the writers, and there's a little over 100, might be 125 by now, who work part-time, you know, on freelance basis for the magazine,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of courtesy. When they get their check, they get a personal note from me, often a telephone call, and a thank you for doing the research, because I'm fairly demanding as an editor also. I just don't want an article. I want an article from somebody who's knowledgeable in the area, and if it doesn't cover the points, I think have to be covered. It goes back. And I think that coming from the writer's perspective has stood me well, because nothing leads into advertising for me. Everything is from my writer's eye, saying it has to answer the questions from the reader. It must answer what, when, why, where, how. It can't lead into just another booklet that you're gonna, the article's gonna ask you to send off and get in for more information.
Sure.
A lot of writers, surprisingly, want to write an article, but they don't want to do it complete.
Mm-hmm.
And now they may be writers of books or good pamphlets, and I say, I want that entire pamphlet, or I want that entire book in there, the gist of it, so whoever's reading the article can do what you say they can do. They don't have to write to you for more. And he says, you'll get your credit at the end, parenthetically. Very often with a writer, especially if they have a book out, I'll give you a name, address, and telephone number. But he says, so, you know, they'll contact you, a lot of the readers will, but I want a complete article so people can do what you were talking about from your article.
Well, as a reader and a subscriber, I can certainly say that all the articles fit the bill. Things that we have read, like do-it-yourself articles that we have done, we didn't get hung up on anything, and everything that we needed was listed there, and all of the steps, and there was no problem. And that's difficult. I mean, even if you buy a product that you have to assemble yourself, often you get a set of instructions that will drive you mad trying to figure out.
Lousy editor of the company.
Oh, it's
you
insane.
About you buy a computer program and the book that comes with it drives you nuts.
Absolutely.
And it takes somebody coming out of the garage who becomes an expert in that to write another book for the whatever product, the IBM product or the Macintosh product.
Dave, you're in Ashland, Oregon. Is that your home?
Yes, the magazine actually started off in Ventura, California, about 700 miles south of here.
Uh-huh.
And we moved up here a little less than a year ago. I've been building a house in the mountains above Ashland for 7 years, and it's been always my goal to get up here. Matter of fact, building that house is what has actually prompted me to start the magazine.
Well, that's good. So you had lived in the big city or near big cities, and you'd always wanted to get out into the country.
I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, which is sort of a medium-sized city. A couple
uh-huh.
million people there by now, I guess. And I moved to California 20 years ago.
Right.
I was living in Ventura, which is about 60 miles north of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're experiencing a lot of increased growth, increased smog, and everything that goes with the increase in population. You know, more crime, more burglaries, more government cold, if you want to do anything. Just the week before I left, they towed my trailer that was parked in front of my house, you know, a 26-foot long Comfort, because it's been parked there more than 10 days. You always get more of that when these rural areas or semi-rural areas become very city-fied. 20 years ago, when I moved to Ventura from Boston, it was quite nice. Matter of fact, I went in there and I said, I didn't actually move from Boston. I went from Boston to Las Vegas and then to Ventura. And
mm-hmm.
I said, boy, what kind of a hick town is this? Turned out to turn into a big city after a while.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Dave, what prompted you to choose this type of magazine over any other type? But I guess you've answered it. You said building your home.
Well, you know, let me elaborate on that just a bit, Bill. About, I guess it's about 9 years ago now, I got divorced while living in Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And I had owned a beach house about 11 houses back from the beach. For most of the time, I was living in California, which is, at that time, now it would have been about 11 years. And through the divorce, I lost the house. We just had to sell it. Neither could afford to buy each other out. And we split up the money. We ended up with about $28,000 each. I sat on that money for about a year trying to figure out what to do. I wanted another house. That was at a time when housing prices in California and then all over the country were going through the roof.
Absolutely.
Right side of the market. I took $17,000 of that money and bought 2.5 acres right on the edge of, I call it a BLM wilderness. Most of the land is 31 miles above Ashland. It's owned by either BLM, Warehouse of Timber, or one large ranch. And I invested the $17,000 in that land. And the reason why that was expensive, because land at the time was going for a couple of 1,000 acres. It had a nice big creek going through it. And with the remainder, $11,000, I built myself a house. So I was back in the housing market with about $28,000 when houses were going for $250,000 in Southern California. And I said, wow. And the reason I located up here, by the way, I used to vacation up here all the time. Always coming up. So this is off of I-5, going up through Ashland, Oregon, up towards Canada. I used to vacation. I said, boy, I like the Ashland area. I like the country around here. And I would love to relocate here someday. And that was part of what led to divorce, too. But divorce, I was stuck with, I'm out of the house. What am I going to do? And so I built my own house. And the house, right now I have more than $11,000 into it. I probably have closer to maybe $22,000 into it. Nice and comfortable, very remote. And I'm a homeowner again without a mortgage.
Well, if you're listening to this, folks, how would you like to have a home for $22,000 on 2 acres of land in a beautiful country setting with lots of trees and a nice climate? And Oregon fits all of those bills. I'm looking at the magazine right now, Dave, and it says the sensible way to store and use food, blacksmithing, heating and window systems, water wheels, home canning, herbal first aid. I have back issues that have subjects like solar power, solar hot water, all of these kinds of things, and many more. I mean, that's not even a drop in the bucket. But you have articles on guns, hand loading your ammo, social conditioning, women and self-defense. You have a lot of articles in your magazine for women, I notice. Farm and garden articles, rabbit diseases, how to cope with them, how to raise rabbits, how to grow a garden. This is just more than owning a house. I mean, this, you're telling people here how to really get out of the system and survive on their own, aren't you?
Yes. What happened was, even though the magazine started by building my own house, I decided that that was so easy to do compared to how hard I thought it would be to get back into a house, that I'm going to write a book about how to build a house, where at the time was about $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But to test market that book, because I had written a book long ago, the publisher made a lot of money and I made only a little bit, I decided to launch a magazine called Backwoods Home, about building your own house. And then I said, well, if it's Backwoods Home, we have to cover a few other themes. So I did a lot of research and contacted some other writers I had known, and we come up with some articles on gardening and some articles on self-sufficiency, some articles on alternative energy, because I had intended to put a solar electric system in my house. So we launched the first issue was 40 pages, and it was such a big response to that, that the magazine was launched. I never really intended to launch the magazine per se. This was going to be, see how many of, if there's interest for my book, so my book, How to Build a House Out There. Never wrote that book. Now we're just going to press with the 19th issue of the magazine. Once you're out in the country, you'll learn what the needs of country people are. And they very often turn to, of course, self-sufficiency and preparedness. They often turn to jobs. A lot of people move to the country. They have to run back to the city with their tail between their legs because they can't find a living. We devote, see, the current issue, I think we have 3 articles on jobs that are well-suited to the country. We do a lot of research on them. We do about 10% of each issue on alternative energy. We're in the midst of a three-part series on hydropower. Do a lot on photovoltaics. Photo meaning light, voltaic volt. So it's solar electricity, turning the sun directly into electricity. It's a technology that is here today. We touch a lot on generator power because that's the traditional method of power. One of my readers lived beyond the power lines. And if you're going to bring the conveniences of modern life into your home, you need electricity, which stresses a good point.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people compare us to the old days of Mother Earth News. And by the way, John Shuttleworth, who founded Mother Earth News back in the 70s and sold it in 80s to some advertising people out of New York, is a very big booster of ours. We've used three letters to the editor praising us from him, which I thank him for. He sort of started the whole country theme.
Sure, but you're not really the same as the Mother Earth News.
And the point I want to make is Mother Earth News wrote more for a hippie-type audience.
Mm-hmm.
When they tackled technology, and John, forgive me for saying it, they were right half the time and they were wrong half the time.
Well, they also had a philosophy that they were going to go completely back to the land. I mean, just absolutely give up almost all.
Our philosophy is move to the country because it's better for raising your kid. It's better for your mental well-being. You're getting out of the rat race, which is going to kill you 10 years before your time. But bring the modern conveniences of society with you. Bring your microwave. You can do that because you can create your own electricity no matter where you live through a variety of alternative energy, especially photovoltaics. You can bring...
You really don't have to give up anything, and you can become totally self-sufficient off the power grid, not relying upon government or city or anything else in order to survive and have a good life and not have to give up the modern conveniences.
That's right, and the advent of the personal computer has helped things even more because you can create a business on that personal computer. My whole magazine is created on one 486 computer. The first issue was created on a compact desk pro, which is the clone of the IBM PC, that first little computer that was out, and they all, the real slow computers.
Mm-hmm.
Worked fine. Took a little bit longer. Now I have a faster machine. But the entire thing is done on that, with the exception of the art. Good art, like the quality, the artist drawings we have on our cover, done by my artist, Don Childers. And you just, any art you have, any photos, the computer creates the page, you paste your photos down in the form of a half tone. It's just an $8 process per picture that goes through an art studio.
Mm-hmm.
But you can create so many jobs, a lot of mail, a lot of businesses for yourself on the computer. And part of the theme of the magazine, too, is all these people who go to the country, try to live their own life, they're good for the country. 75% of the jobs, new jobs in this country, are created by small businesses. They're not created by government, not created by the big IBMs of the world or any place like that. They're created by small businesses. These people who choose to leave the rat race, get away from a job they hate, and that they're probably living up to half their productivity from, they get into the country. They have to make a living. They work their butt off. A lot of them, a lot of these small business entrepreneurs living in the backwoods, they're working 12, 13, 14 hours a day. They're good for the country. They create one or two jobs for people to help them with their business. And they're not only good for the country, it's great for themselves, I tell you.
Certainly.
Their own boss.
Sure. Well, that's what I do. I live out in the country. I'm not anywhere near a city, and we're self-supporting and self-sufficient. And we make, we don't look around for someone to give us anything or for someone to give us a job or we have to go to somebody else to earn our way. I've always been a great believer that all of us have been given something that is just incredible. It's called a brain. And if we just use it, we don't need anybody else. And it's so, so wonderful to be able to be... not under somebody else's thumb, to make your own decisions, to decide what you're going to do today and how much you're going to do and what your income is going to be, and do something that you really like to do. Well, folks, it's time to take a little break. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper, with our special guest, Mr. Dave Duffy, editor and publisher of Backwoods Home Magazine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Show, and you know that I don't sell advertising. I invited Dave Duffy on this show because I think Backwoods Home Magazine is probably one of the best magazines that anyone in this world could ever subscribe to. And we're going to get into some other things, too. We were just talking about what's good for the country. And one of the things that I really like about Dave Duffy and Backwoods Home Magazine are his editorials, and his articles are not always about how to build a home or how to become self-sufficient or how to can food. In this last issue, there's an interview.
Folks, if you'd like to see this program, stay on the air. And if you would like to help save the Constitution, this country, and thus freedom for the world, you need to join the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, CAGI. It's our own private intelligence organization. With your membership, you get a certificate and an ID card which entitles you to substantial discounts to attend my lectures and workshops as I travel around this great country of ours. You'll also get the CAGI newsletter, which is normally $35 for 12 issues by itself. You'll also have access to our computer bulletin board database system, which is normally $30 per quarter or $80 per year. All of this, folks, and much, much more. Our CAGI members get full press credentials as representatives of the intelligence gathering process of the hour of the time. Press credentials. Legitimate full press credentials. All of this, folks, and much, much more. Our members can purchase tapes of this radio broadcast for only $5 per tape. $5 plus postage and handling. Anybody else who's not a member, it's $15 per tape. Our videotapes that we produce, $30 for CAGI members plus postage and handling, $45 plus postage and handling for anybody else. Doesn't matter who you are. From time to time, we will have other special offers for our CAGI members only. No one else. No one else gets these special rates, these discounts, and no one else will have access to some of the other things that we're going to offer CAGI members at all. In other words, they won't even be entitled to them no matter how much money they have. From time to time, we set out on expeditions to attempt to investigate and substantiate or disprove certain phenomena that happen in this country. We also plan to have a convention once a year where only CAGI members will be allowed to come. We'll have special speakers. We'll socialize. We'll get to know each other and disseminate information on a large scale. Believe me, folks, it's the best money that you've ever spent if you're interested in saving this country, freedom, saving the Constitution. If you're interested in learning, if you want to find out hidden information that you can't get anywhere else, you'll always get it on this broadcast. You also need to read my book, Behold a Pale Horse. It's 500 pages of the most suppressed information ever published in the history of the world in one book. 500 pages of the most well-documented suppressed information ever published in the history of the world. And I've been told that by experts, folks who know, with a very extensive and thick appendix. Documents in there that you would never get to see anywhere else except in my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Now, if you'd like to join CAGI, send $45, that's the membership fee, $45, to William Cooper, P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. Now, if you'd like to order my book, Behold a Pale Horse, we still have some at the old price for everybody, $20 plus $4 postage and handling. That's $20 plus $4 postage and handling to the same address, P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. $24 for the book includes postage and handling, $45 for your CAGI membership. Now, if you'd just like to call Stan and ask him to send you a list of available materials, or you'd just like to talk to Stan, who is my only authorized representative at this time, folks, call him at 602-567-6109. That's 602-567-6109. Ask him to send you a list of available materials, or if you just want to chat with Stan, that's fine. But make sure you do not call him tonight. If you do, all you'll get is an answering machine, folks. So call him tomorrow morning during the daytime, during normal waking hours. And Stan will be happy to talk to you. You'll find that he's a wonderful, wonderful man. He's helped me out a lot in the last few years that I've been doing this. We have been working together for a long time. I've learned to trust, admire, respect, and love Stan and Elma very, very much. So don't hesitate to call, but please call during the daylight hours. Well, it's time to get back to our interview with Mr. Dave Duffy, editor and publisher of Backwoods Home Magazine.
I bet all of my listeners out there are wondering what in the world this is really all about. Well, folks, you're hearing what it's really all about. I'm not, this is not an advertisement. I really am a person who I don't plug anything and I don't put anything out on my show. And you know that I don't sell advertising. I invited Dave Duffy on this show because I think Backwoods Home Magazine is probably one of the best magazines that anyone in this world could ever subscribe to. And we're going to get into some other things, too. We were just talking about what's good for the country, and one of the things that I really like about Dave Duffy and Backwoods Home Magazine are his editorials, and his articles are not always about how to build a home or how to become self-sufficient or how to can food. In this last issue, there's an interview with Andre Moreau, who's the Libertarian candidate for president in this coming election. And Dave Duffy has written an awful lot of editorials on the Constitution and what's happening to this country. And he's a great supporter of the second article in Amendment to the Constitution. And you all know that I am also. In fact, we've done several whole shows just on that subject here. Dave, if people want to subscribe to your magazine, how do they do it?
Well, it's $17.95 a year. We're published every other month, so 16 issues a year. They can just send a check or money order or cash, we're not fussy, to 1257 Siskiyou Boulevard. That's S, like in Sam, I-S-K-I-Y-O-U, Box 213, Ashland, Oregon. That's A-S-H-L-A-N-D. And the zip is 97520.
Okay, you heard that, folks.
If they want to call it in, they can, too. It's area 503-488-2053. We don't take MasterCard or Visa, but we just enter you into the database and send you a bill.
That's great. Yearly subscription, 6 issues, $17.95. And you send that to Backwoods Home Magazine, 1257 Siskiyou Boulevard, S-I-S-K-I-Y-O-U Boulevard, number 213, Ashland, Oregon, 97520. And if you don't want to do that, you can just call them. They'll put you into the computer and send you a bill. The number is 503-488-2053. Now, if you're running around looking for a pencil and paper, you know that you're always supposed to have one by your side when you listen to this show. So,
Bill, if they put on their order that they heard about the magazine through the Bill Cooper Show, we'll give them $2 off.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Another good benefit for my listeners, $2 off. If you send a check or money order and say that you heard about this magazine on this show, The Hour of the Time, you'll get it for $15.95 instead of $17.95, and that's pretty good.
By the way, just to clarify something for your listeners, there is another magazine sometimes we are confused with which is called Back Home. That's out of North Carolina. It was started by editors let go from Mother Earth News when they folded a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And Mother has since come back, bought by a Briton. But sometimes we get confused with Back Home, which is former Mother Earth editor. So that's not us. We're totally different. We're a year older than them.
Okay. Just remember, folks, this is Backwoods Home Magazine, and it's out of Ashland, Oregon. Dave, tell me a little bit about, you know, it's very unusual for somebody who writes magazines, who publishes magazines like you're publishing, to have the political viewpoint that you do. Can you tell me a little bit about your political viewpoint, some of the editorials that you've written, and why you do this? I know you come under a little flack from some of your readers because I see in the letters section.
Well, you've got to start from the point that of all the country magazines out there, I would guess 9 out of 10, maybe a higher percentage, maybe 99%, are written by people who are very, quote, environmentally aware.
Mm-hmm.
Their political philosophy tends to lean quite far to the left. I won't name any magazines because I don't probably wouldn't be fair to them.
No, we don't want to do badmouth anybody unless they can be here to.
My political philosophy started out, like all young men, as a liberal from Boston. And as I learned how the world really operated, I became much more conservative. And probably I'm even more libertarian now. I believe in the founding fathers had it right from the beginning that this is a, we should form a, they wanted to form a country that had very limited government and very maximum freedoms. And we had that country for years and years and years. But over the past 100 years or so, especially accelerating over the past, since the 30s when we hit the Depression, we've had a country with far fewer freedoms. The federal government has virtually all the power in the country. In another 20 years, if we keep electing Republicans, I think they'll have all the power. Right now, they have to fight the drug war. They can stop you at the airport, and their dog sniffers smell drug residue on some money you have, and almost half of money in this country must have drug residue on it. A lot of businessmen carry a couple thousand dollars to buy something.
Well, don't they use dollar bills to roll up to snort coke? I mean, of course.
But I mean, the government can confiscate that money without due process. It's up to you to get it back. There's so much federal government intrusion and local government intrusion into our private lives. It makes the country totally unlike what the country used to be. Gee whiz, even 50 years ago. But especially where what our founding fathers envisioned it. My magazine is political on one page. I have a 100-page magazine. Mm-hmm. One of my pages is editorial. Mm-hmm. The other 99 are how-to. Politics usually doesn't invade it. Does not invade it. But on my one page, I'm a very firm constitutionalist. I think federal government should back off. I think taxes should be cut. I think the private enterprise should be given a chance to put the country back on its feet because we know the government has failed horribly. I think people should be allowed to, if they want, educate their own children because the public school system has failed horribly. And I just think we should get back to good old American values. And you can read the writings of Thomas Jefferson, Madison, Paine, a lot of people, George Washington, the founder of the country, see what they thought. They would be horrified to see a George Bush and a Bill Clinton running for president. I don't see any choice out there. A guy like Andre Mourou, who represents a libertarian, I'm not trying to give a plug to libertarians,
mm-hmm.
but that just happens to be a party that believes government should shrink to the point where its sole duty is to protect the citizens from foreign invasion and from them harming each other. It doesn't believe that the federal government, as Republicans and Democrats do, should invade every facet of our lives, tell us how to raise our children, tax the businesses to the point where it's hard for small business to do business because he's paying so much of his revenue to the government.
Well, I personally believe that's intentional to force small business out of business.
It's doing in California is they had a survey, I guess, in the L.A. Times a year and a half ago, and the survey showed that 1/4 of all businesses in California is making active plans to move out of the state. States like Arizona and Colorado were actively courting them, saying, hey, we have lower taxes here. California's unemployment rate is starting to go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
5 years from now, or 7 years from now, when the unemployment rate really goes through the roof, the politicians in California will be saying, gee, there's a problem here. Tax business, tax the rich. By the rich, they mean anybody who's making over about $40,000 a year, I think. Let's tax all them and get social welfare programs going, and let's get more government programs going, and let's get the federal government to beef up businesses and subsidize this one and that one. In these states like Arizona, when they're saying, hey, we want to give small businesses a chance, those states are going to thrive. If government would just back off and let people do their own thing, create their own wealth, trade as they wish, you know, make a product and not have to tack on all the government taxes, I think the country would pull out of the recession.
You know, absolutely.
Congress has this incredible deficit right now. guys like you and I aren't even going to get stuff like Social Security. The people who are getting Social Security now are getting 10 times what they put into it. But by the time I'm the baby boom, I'm 48. By the time I'm retired, I think it's projected there'll be 4 workers for every retired person. There's simply not enough money. Just run the actuarial table. There's not enough money unless the government decides to inflate the dollar more than they have.
Well, I'm of the opinion that if everybody took what they were paying into Social Security and put it into the lowest yield interest-bearing account of any kind of investment, even the lowest yield, by the time that they reached retirement age, they would be so well off that they wouldn't even believe it. But if they stay in Social Security, they're not going to get anything. And it is a voluntary program.
You did an article about just what you thought. There is a program out there. We did a two-part series on the national health care system. I forget what issues. They were 4 or 5 issues back.
Mm-hmm.
Built by a Canadian, Martin Waterman. He does a lot of my book reviews, and he's been living with the Canadian health care system. So this first article said it doesn't work. It's on the verge of bankruptcy. And he said, don't believe what all the politicians are telling you, because it's not going to work in the United States either. And the second article, he talked about what's referred to as the Singapore system. I forget the exact name, but it's a retirement account system. It allows you to set up your own. It's sort of like an IRA
mm-hmm.
account
mm-hmm.
for your own health care. It gives you tax deductions to set that up. It requires a certain amount of responsibility on people to set it up, and naturally there are going to be some people who will never set up anything. And so you will have to have some sort of net to keep those who will always fall through the cracks to help them out. It allows the average person to plan for their own health system by setting up an IRA type account with plenty of tax incentives to have you do that. None of the major candidates are talking about anything like that. They're just talking about socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm. I notice you do something in your editorials, and you have articles in your magazines on, for instance, here's one, hand loading your ammo is far cheaper than buying it. You have other articles and other issues on the best kind of weapon for hunting and for self-protection and all kinds of things. But it's refreshingly nice to me to see someone in a magazine who supports the second article in amendment, which I know is the only reason why we're free today, and is the only reason why we'll be free tomorrow. And I know that the moment that we let the guns out of the hands of the American people, that we won't stay free. And all I have to do to know that is look at history. But
the incidence of modern gun control in our time is Adolf Hitler instituting in Germany.
That's correct.
He's going to have to do that, because eventually people catch on what's going on. Every time a communist country used to take over, first thing they do is institute gun control. Our founding fathers knew when they started the country that the worst enemy lurking in the woods would be our own government down the line.
Absolutely.
It wasn't going to come from a foreign invader. They knew eventually people would get in power and they'd say, well, let's take these rights away from the citizens and let's assume a little bit more power on the state level and let's assume a little bit more power on the federal level. The reason they wrote the Second Amendment into the Constitution, and you can read this from reading the writings of all the people involved with the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, was so people had the means to rebel against their own government. It wasn't just to go hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just to protect themselves against the burglar. And, you know, some people, my critics would be pulling their hair out now. They say, well, all they had was muzzle loaders. That was state-of-the-art. Their idea was the people need to be armed with state-of-the-art weaponry in order to keep their government honest.
That's correct. The truth is that no crime has ever been committed with a legally registered machine gun, with a tank that someone has purchased from the military, with any kind of what people would call a super dangerous weaponry. There are many, many, many people in this country who own machine guns, and I mean the real, real machine guns. But you have to register with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the whole works to get a special permit to have them. No crime has ever been committed with any of those weapons. Nobody who commits crimes goes through the legal process to get their weapons. Right now in England, handguns are banned throughout the entire country of England. Yet last year in London, over 5,000 serious felony crimes were committed with handguns in the city of London. The truth about this whole matter is that somebody who wants a gun to kill somebody with is going to get a gun and they're going to kill that person, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But the day that a despot rises to power in this country and takes our freedoms away, if the people don't have guns, they won't be able to do anything about it. And they are always helpless against the criminals who are able to get guns no matter what the law says. That's why they're called criminals. And we never learned a lesson from Prohibition. We never learned that lesson.
I was going to say the same thing. We outlawed alcohol once.
And everybody who...
It was such a marginal dip that alcohol consumption went down, according to historians. It's just a crime in itself. It barely went down. What we did was we created gangs, and we helped corrupt judges and police forces and stuff like that.
Absolutely. It created organized crime.
But if you outlaw handguns, you're gonna, what you're doing is taking or any kind of gun, you're taking guns away from law-abiding citizens.
That's correct.
The crooks are gonna get their guns anyway.
That's correct. And I believe that the people who have the biggest vested interest in taking the guns away from the American people are the socialists who would like to see us become a socialist totalitarian state. Khrushchev said it. He said, we don't have to invade you. We don't have to bomb you. You will be destroyed from within.
You know, it's kind of interesting now that the demise, so-called demise of the Soviet Union has taken place, and they're all running towards democracy. It's like we have just passed them heading in the opposite way.
Well, it's strange. That's absolutely true, because nobody in this country who is a socialist or a communist has learned that lesson. They're still trying to propel us into socialism when every experiment in socialism and communism has failed. Failed, not only failed, but failed absolutely miserably. It's failed so bad. But they still have that yearning for the utopia on earth where they don't have to be responsible and they don't have to do anything, that they'll be taken care of and protected by daddy. They're little children, Dave. I really believe that in my heart, that they're children who have gone out, left home, looked at the world, and have become so afraid that they have to build a huge, tremendous socialist bureaucracy to protect them from the world. And since they don't believe in God, this is all they have, so they've got to cling to it. No matter what, there's nothing else, there's nothing after.
You know, unfortunately, my magazine takes a fairly strong stand on the environment, that we should take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even we recognize that a lot of the people who would like to put socialism into every aspect of this country are heavily involved in the environmental movement.
Well, a lot of times they use the environmental issues as a means of giving control to the government over things that the government has no business controlling.
Right. They're ruining the environmental movement, and they're going to cause a backlash that's going to hurt the environment worse than ever. They want to set aside large tracts of land so the government can manage to protect things like a spotted owl. If history shows anything, it shows land managed by the government suffers environmentally. Land privately owned, even privately owned by logging companies benefit because they have an economic stake in making sure that land isn't screwed up. Yet people talk about clear cutting. I've got areas around my area, heavy growth areas around my home up in the mountains up above Ashland, which have been clear cut and replanted, and the trees are now standing about 10 to 12 feet tall. They're going to produce timber later. Anybody with an economic stake, that is, that has private ownership of land, is going to take care of it. The government has no economic stake in these large tracts of land that a lot of the socialists want them to take over. And a good lesson is just yesterday, some ministry in the Russian government produced a report that said Russia is on the verge of a cataclysm environmentally.
Yes.
The rivers are screwed up. Three out of four Russians who live in cities are living in air quality that is 10 times worse than the acceptable limits in this country. This is what socialism has done. The government has run the Soviet Union for 20 years, and this is what has resulted. And they ran Poland, the Volga River. They tried to dredge about 100-yard stretch of that about 2 years ago. It dug up so many much poisons in the sediments that thousands of dead fish washed downstream.
Well,
if you have the government run anything, no matter how good their intentions, they're going to screw it up. They always have in the past, and they always will. If you have private people run it, you're going to have your people in there that they don't give a damn, and they're going to rape the land and stuff. But mostly, you're going to have people who have an interest in their own land, and they're going to take care of it.
You're listening to The Hour of the Time. My name is William Cooper, and my guest is Dave Duffy, the publisher and editor of Backwoods Home Magazine. You can order Backwoods Home Magazine. In fact, if you send a check or money order with $15.95 and mention that you heard about this magazine on this show, you'll get it for $15.95 instead of $17.95. The address to send to is Backwoods Home Magazine, 1257 Siskiyou Boulevard, Siskiyou Boulevard, number 213, Ashland, Oregon, 97520. Or you can call and tell Mr. Duffy that you heard this on the air, on The Hour of the Time, and they'll put you in the computer, get your subscription started, and they'll bill you. The number is 503-488-2053. That's 503-488-2053. What are some of the benefits to living in the country?
Well, you're less likely to be mugged when you walk home. Your wife is less likely to be raped. You're probably going to add a few years on your life because you're not subject to the stress of living in the city with all the crimes that it puts on a family, with all the stresses that you're working on a job that you dislike. Usually, if you move to the country and you have to find your own way to make a living, you tend to seek out an area that you know, and you tend to develop a living around that, whether it's making toys and selling them mail order. There's a surprising number of people in the country can make things with their hands, and we have a very efficient mail system in this country, in spite of what you have heard, just kind of Canadian system. And you can make products in your garage, and you can sell them to other people. We have a lot of advertisers who advertise their homemade products in our home.
Well, here's an article on the Saddle Shop created self-sufficiency for Idaho family. A saddle shop, leatherwork, all of those kinds of things.
A lot of people are taking advantage of the new technology of photovoltaics, and I bet you personally I know maybe 30 people who have a husband and wife team that install photovoltaic systems on people's houses, and photovoltaic being solar electric panels go on the roof.
Uh-huh. Those are a lot cheaper now, aren't they, Dave, than they used to be?
They're a lot cheaper. They're still kind of pricey. There's several avenues of technology that will come to fruition in 3 to 5 years that'll drop the price by a factor of 5, I believe.
Well, that's it, folks. We're out of time. We want to thank Mr. Dave Duffy for his contribution and for being such a wonderful guest tonight. And maybe we can have him back at some other time. Remember, send your $45 for your CAGI membership to P.O. Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. While you're at it, send $24 for my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Well, that's it, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every one of you.